Thank you for the blood of Jesus that was shed for us, for forgiveness, to break the power of death, Lord, to break the power of sin, sickness, and disease. Lord, you did everything, Lord, in your atoning death on the cross and your resurrection from the dead. You want us to believe that, Lord, to truly walk in faith, to believe it with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. And to walk in it, Lord. You want us to walk in faith, not in doubt, not in fear, but in faith. Lord, I ask you today to help us with that, to give us your grace and your strength, God, because you have not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. And Lord, as Christians, we refuse to walk in fear, fear of the future, fear of the government, fear of the devil, fear of evil people. Fear of a virus, we refuse to walk in fear. You want a supernatural people who walk in faith, who trust you, that whether we live or we die, we are walking in you. Lord, I pray for your people here today. I pray for those watching and listening. Lord, make us fearless people. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated this morning. We're going to welcome everyone to Fire and Grace Church and those watching and listening. This is one of those Sundays that, again, I prayed and prayed and prayed, and just the Lord was like, just wait. But there is something that as we were worshiping the Lord there for a few minutes that the Lord laid on my heart, and I want to go through some scriptures on it, and I was praying about it there. As we started the service here, but we really have to conquer fear. You know, I just received this, and I know this sister won't mind me reading this because she posted it publicly on the YouTube channel. But I want to read this. I just got a few minutes ago. And then this is just from Tracy. We won't give a last name here, but it says, Dean and all my brothers and sisters in Christ, I humbly ask that you pray for me regarding the inner conflict that I'm having with my return to work tomorrow, May 18th. I have worked for Ford Motor Company for 26 years and have always felt it to be quite a blessing that I have been afforded the opportunity to provide for me and my three children. But I am fired up about the mandatory procedures upon return. I'm being forced to submit to a daily health questionnaire, temperature scan, restricted movement within the facility while wearing a mask at all times. What's next? Denouncing my faith in Christ while they try to hold me down to inject me with poison. Seriously, I'm concerned about the what-ifs. So many uncertainties. What if I have a slight fever and I'm denied the opportunity to work? Is my name turned over to the psychos who think they can come and remove me from my home? Obviously, the what-ifs scenario can go down many roads, but the bottom line for me is this. I don't want to give in to these baby steps toward the New World Order agenda. Obviously, I need my job, which makes me basically a slave to whatever Ford and the corrupt UAW tell me to do. I'm just so aggravated watching this demonic plan come to fruition. I've prayed about it and unfortunately haven't really been guided. I'm also extremely outspoken and have posted my position openly on the UAW, of course that's the United Auto Workers Union, Twitter page or Twitter account, which probably puts me on a watch list, LOL. I try to open up the eyes of those around me to the truth to no avail. I am mocked and disregarded by my own family and friends, and I refuse to shut up. I find comfort in 2 Thessalonians 2:11 through 12, and just pray for guidance. I am just ticked, really, yet not surprised by Ford's mandates. Henry Ford helped fund the Nazi propaganda, so basically I've worked for an evil company without ever knowing until my eyes were open. I just don't want to conform to this plandemic. I just need some extra prayers. Thanks. I think this would probably define a lot of us that have a lot of inner conflicts about, you know, how much do we submit to the government? What if I lose my job? You know, are they going to come try to quarantine me or take me away from my children or my children away from me? There's all these questions, and there's all these uncertainties, and there's all these fears. And that's something that is only really going to increase. I believe this coronavirus thing was just the shot over the bow. They were just doing a test, and they saw it succeeded pretty well. So they'll probably use this in the future with something else because it's worked pretty well. But I feel as though the Lord showed me that there's other things coming in the days ahead that are going to be much worse and that are going to try. Again, all of this, all that Satan and his people do is that they try to instill fear in people, because once you're afraid, once you're in fear, then they can much more easily manipulate your mind, your emotions, and your actions. Because if they can control your mind with fear and lies and deception and exaggerations, then they can control your actions. And that's what they want to do. And this is, again, and I've said it many times, you know, I think everyone in here and those most of you watching and listening understand that it's not really Republican and Democrat. It's, you know, people who love freedom. You know, there's these groups. Okay, look, there's Christians who know what's going on. There's that group who understand Satan's agenda and people and what's really happening. Then there's Christians that are clueless, okay? Really, we got a lot of Christians and a lot of Christian pastors that are absolutely clueless as to what's going on. That's why they do sermon series in the local megachurch on the new normal. It's unbelievable. But then you have people in the world, the unsaved. You have unsaved people that have no idea what's going on. They just follow in the media, CNN, MSNBC. They just follow what the government says. No matter how corrupt the government institution may be, we got to listen to the CDC. We got to listen to the FDA. You know, they've never lied, right? Or done anything shady, you know. We won't even get into the Tuskegee experiment, right, where the government did a test on people without telling them. I mean, we could go into that. My wife hadn't even heard of it. So there's a lot of people don't know about it. But the government, you know, wouldn't dare, you know, inject you with syphilis and not tell you that they were injecting you and let you suffer for several decades to do a study on you secretly. No, the government would never do anything like that. But they did. That's a fact. Right? That happened right here in Alabama. So we got people, again, in the world that are clueless. They just follow the media and believe and trust government institutions. Again, God knows why I don't. And then you have people that are unsaved, that don't know Jesus as their Lord and Savior, and they have a little bit of an idea of what's going on. They're awake to there's an evil plan out there to create a world government, to try to control all of us with chips and implants and vaccines and all kinds of injected things, you know. So there's some people out there that understand there's a new world order. They just don't understand that Jesus is the only answer to that, and that Jesus is coming back to set up a new kingdom, and that they're going to have to decide to be part of his kingdom or they're really on the other side. So, again, you've got these groups of people out there, and this is what we're dealing with. And hopefully, we can pray through a revival here that God will raise up some very bold and outspoken people like our sister Tracy here to try to wake some people up. But listen, in the process of that, there's something as Christians you need to understand and you need to begin to just accept and trust God, especially in the financial area, okay? Because the Bible talks about, look, the Bible told us, warned us 2,000 years ago, very specific, that this Antichrist, satanic, New World Order was going to get to a place where they were going to make everyone, small, great, rich, poor, receive a mark in their right hand or the forehead, and without that, you won't be able to buy or sell. But if you submit to that, the Bible says you will spend eternity in hell separated from God. The smoke of your torment will go up day and night forever. You will have no rest. That's how serious this matter is about not submitting. Well, if we don't submit to this, then it means we cannot buy or sell. We cannot operate in their economic system. And we're drawing closer and closer to that. What I'm getting at here is you're going to have to not be afraid to lose your job. I think all of us are going to have to get to a place where we trust God. And I think a lot of people now, because of this stupid and uncalled for shutdown of our economy, I think a lot of people right now are finding out that a lot of people have lost their jobs. And it's almost like, are you going to trust the government? Are you going to, you know, cave in and yield to whatever they tell you to do so you can have a job? Are you still going to stand strong for Jesus, for the truth, for freedom? Are you really going to stand strong and resist this new world order? Because they're going to keep pushing it gradually. Are you going to stand up against it? Are you going to stand up? Listen, some of you have been sending your kids to public schools, and I know that some of you wish you didn't have to do that, but you just financially you have to do it. But listen, here's the thing. Some of you, your children are not going to be allowed back in schools once they mandate some of these vaccines. And when they mandate the mark of the beast, are you going to go ahead and let them inject your child? Or are you going to say, you know what, that's it. I will not send my child back to the beast education system. Well, that means a hardship for me. I might have to quit my job. Listen, a lot of Americans better learn there's some sacrifices that we need to make to do what's right. You know, the reason I don't drive a new vehicle and haven't for years and had to get cars where I don't have a car payment is so my wife could stay home and raise Faith and we could homeschool her, because I wasn't about to send her to be indoctrinated by the government schools. And let me tell you, there's been many times in my life where I had to choose between right and wrong when it came to a job, and I had to lose a job to do what was right, to stand for what was right. And yeah, did it cause hardship and difficulty in my life? Absolutely. But let me just say this. There's never a wrong time to do the right thing. Never. And if you stick with God, you may suffer. But if you stick with him through whatever suffering you have to go through, whatever loss you have to go through to do what's right, to do what he wants you to do, to stand against this stuff, to not be in fear, but to trust him, he will provide. Look, when we moved here to start this church, we had nothing. Nothing. It was a miracle we could even rent a place to live. And then we find out that my wife is pregnant with Faith. And I was just like, and she was having a rough time of it in the beginning, especially. And I was like, you're staying home. And, I mean, she was talking about getting a job when we got here. And, of course, we, you know, it was rough in those several years, quite a few of the years here. Because I just made up my mind. Not sending my child to be indoctrinated. And some of you right now, it's funny, everybody made fun of homeschoolers, but now everybody's homeschooled, right? Yeah, school's not essential. I mean, you know, Americans, it's quite amazing, isn't it, that we claim to be a free capitalist republic, and yet we have a socialist, communist government school system that we send our children to that teaches them this socialism and communism. I think it's time we wake up. You know what I'm saying? There's some sacrifices that need to be made to do what's right. You may lose a job. Guess what? You might need to. And I'm going to tell some of you, look, I know I've said it in the fore, but Jesus said this. Look this verse up for me, you guys. I think it's in Matthew 10, I'm pretty sure, but I may be wrong. It's just coming to my mind where Jesus said, if they persecute you in this city, flee to another, right? Can I just say there is a time to move? How many of you know America was pretty much birthed on that right there? I've been going back through an old book I bought back in the mid-90s. It's a really good book. You ought to get it. Especially those who think America was evil from the beginning. It's called America's God and Country, the Encyclopedia of Quotes. I've been going back through that lately. It's quite amazing that how strong Christianity was here in the 1600s and the 1700s and the 1800s. Many people don't even know that over 35%, I think it was, the book said, of our founding fathers' quotes were directly from Scripture. And then a lot of their other quotes were from things like Blackstone's law books and other things that were, most of Blackstone was taken from the Bible. And you put it all together, and they said about 94% of our founding fathers' quotes can be attributed to the Holy Bible, the Scripture, this book right here. I was reading what school children, how they learned their ABCs back in the 1700s. And they use little Bible rhymes about like Adam's sin, why Christ died. And that's how they learned their ABCs. But listen, when they persecute you in this city, this is what Jesus said, when they persecute you in this city, flee ye into another, for verily I say unto you, you shall not have gone over the cities of Israel till the Son of Man be come. Now notice he talked about the second coming, his second coming there, Jesus did. In context with this verse here, flee, when they persecute you in this city, flee to another. Listen, there's some states right now in America that are completely ruled by New World Order communist hacks. And this little coronavirus exercise has exposed these little dictators for what they are. They do not care about the Constitution of the United States of America, which is our supreme law. They don't care about your rights of free speech or to exercise your religion or to peaceably assemble. They don't care. And in fact, I was reading yesterday, I was going through my little book, America's God and Country, and I was going through Supreme Court rulings over the years. And it was just amazing at how many times the Supreme Court has ruled that the Constitution is not suspended, that your constitutional rights as an American is not suspended in any crisis, no matter what the crisis. Do you hear me? Over and over again. Not in wartime, not in a pandemic.
Now, I know there was a Supreme Court ruling in 1905 that forced a guy to get a vaccination. That's another thing. The Supreme Court didn't always get it right. Did they get it right with Roe v. Wade? No, of course not. So the Supreme Court doesn't always get it right. Definitely our legislature doesn't always get it right. And we've had many presidents that didn't get it right. But the bottom line is that you got to understand, and some of you living in Illinois, California, New York, New Jersey, some of these places, I'm telling you, you're just getting to the point where it may be time to flee. And I'll tell you what, if everybody just left California, they wouldn't have any tax money to misuse. They'd have to get China to fund them, which is probably what's going on anyway. You hear what I'm saying? Yeah, you guys, you know, and I've said this before, but I'm not joking. It's some of you. If I lived in Illinois, and especially if I lived in Chicago with that little dictator, the mayor there, Lori Lightfoot, the new mayor of Chicago. Let me quote her. This is right after her election, before the coronavirus stuff kicked in. Here's what she said, and I posted the little video of her saying this, and she said it in two different interviews. So this, she didn't, you know, she can't claim she misspoke, right? But she said she was talking about putting people in positions of authority in the city. And, you know, and let me just put this in perspective. The city of Chicago has almost 9 million people in it. The state of Alabama has 5 million. But so this woman is in charge of and in authority over 9 million people in the city of Chicago. And she told people the other day that if she saw them just talking about getting together, having a group, you know, fellowship, barbecue, dinner party, that they would come and knock on their door and arrest people. All right? This is a mayor of Chicago. But she was talking about, but even before the coronavirus thing, she was talking about picking people. She said, you pick the people. This is a direct quote. Quote, you pick the people that will run those agencies and the deputies that are pledging allegiance to the new world order and good governance. Let me go in and tell you that right there is United Nations speak for world government. Not America. This is not a person loyal to the American people or the Constitution of the United States or our national sovereignty. No, she is part of an agenda that wants to strengthen the United Nations into a world government. I was just reading another document this morning. They're very open about it. What they mean, listen to me. Everybody listen to me. When they say the words New World Order, they mean to turn the United Nations into a totalitarian, communist, socialist world government. The sovereignty of nations are no more. The UN has the final say on everything. Do you understand that? That means the Constitution of the United States, your rights, your freedoms go out the window. And we know, if all you got to do is a little reading, a little digging into the United Nations agenda, and you find out they want to disarm every citizen. They're hiring. You can go look at their hiring. They're hiring agents that are prepared to come around and disarm you. Let me tell you what, good luck with that in Alabama. But that is their agenda. And what you guys need to understand, there are governors, there are mayors, there are police officers, there's senators and congressmen, men and women who have already pledged allegiance to the United Nations, to the New World Order plan, to the agenda of the Antichrist and the beast system. They've already pledged allegiance. They are already part of the plan. They are already pushing it forward. This is happening. We have traitors in our midst that somehow get elected to positions in our government or appointed like Fauci. You need to hear me. This plan. Remember George Herbert Walker Bush. See, it's Republican and Democrat. It's on both sides. And George Herbert Walker Bush, when he first used these terms on national television back in 1991, what really struck me was not that he used the term New World Order, but when he said, and when we are successful, and we will be. How could the former head of the CIA, the vice president of the United States, president of the United States, say something like that? And he also said these words. I have listened to the speech myself. When he was president, he said, we have pledged allegiance to the United Nations and to the Charter of the United Nations. Can I just go on and tell you, you cannot pledge allegiance to the United Nations and the United States of America if you're an American. You cannot do it. They are diametrically opposed. And there's some politicians and military and law enforcement that are going to have to decide in the days ahead, are they going to be loyal to their oath to defend the Constitution of the United States against all enemies, foreign and domestic? Those decisions are being, when we were on the street in Montgomery, Alabama the other day protesting our Republican governor shutting down our state over this stupidity that's proven already in Alabama to be less deadly than the flu here. I just looked at the new stats this morning. The flu killed more people last year than the coronavirus did this year. All right? It's ridiculous. But we were in the street just protesting, and there was a little war going on between the police officers. Not the police officers and us, between the police officers themselves. And Jordan got him on camera. I'm going to use this in the days ahead. But Jordan got on the camera and said, this is our First Amendment right. And a police officer turned to him and said, you assume so. Another officer, I was in his face, and this is all was on camera. It's on YouTube, on Facebook. I did Facebook Live, I'm sorry. But I'm like, are you going to uphold your oath? I said, did you not take an oath to defend the Constitution of the United States? He wouldn't answer me. And he starts pointing to his body camera. And I'm like, so? I got a camera too. I mean, what are you pointing at your camera? And then another police officer comes up. And my wife and Faith were standing close enough where this other police officer walks up and says, look, if y'all start arresting people, you're going to have lawsuits like you don't know what, because this is their First Amendment right. These ordinances, these orders are not laws. So it was interesting. I walked over and told that police officer I appreciated him, right? But this is where we are in America. You think of that little witch up there in Michigan, Gretchen. That just sounds like a witch name, doesn't it? Anyway, Gretchen. Gretchen. Gretchen Whitmore. Sounds like something out of an evil movie, right? She sounds like the villain. Gretchen. There might not be nice Gretchens. Okay, I know. I'm sorry. Well, she's giving you a bad name. Because she's evil. But what? You know, I got to, you know, thank God there's some people in Michigan that aren't going to take it. But the war is on. The war is on over, really, really, listen, you guys, if America goes down, and they know this, if the United States of America, if we go down completely, then they can just do whatever they want. I know this. I have heard the complaining. See, I go back and look at videos from 20, 30, 40 years ago. And some of these people, like Walter Cronkite, was a big United Nations, one world government, even said he was proud to stand with Satan. Yeah, I've got the video clip. And he was talking about it, and he said, you know what? He said, we've got to strengthen the United Nations into a world government. He said, for Americans, that'll be a bitter pill to swallow. No, we're not swallowing it at all, Chief. That's where you're wrong. But they know, and he was so angry. He was talking about the senators and the congressmen in that little video clip that were listening to and controlled by the Christian right wing and didn't want to fund the United Nations. How horrible is that? Christians who don't want to fund the beast world government and help it come to power. That's a bad thing, according to Mr. Walter Cronkite. But see, he was one of these New World Order people. Pretty much, folks, any of these people that get high up in the media, not all of them, but most of them, have already sold their soul to the beast, to Satan. In fact, most of them have already signed the contract in their own blood to get the fame and the positions and the money and the power and the influence. I was told by a Hollywood insider many years ago that the United Nations was already going around to key people, actors in Hollywood that have great influence, and getting them to sign a pledge of allegiance to the United Nations and the New World Order, and to make sure that they promoted that concept every chance they would possibly get. This was goodness. This had to have been 2013, I was told this, by someone who'd been in Hollywood behind the scenes for years, you know, telling me stuff like, hey, you want to meet Oprah? I can introduce you. I said, no, she probably wouldn't like me. So, it's going on. So, what's the answer? We either will let, and this is something I've noticed, we will let fear and anxiety overwhelm us to the point we live in torment. Or we will boldly stand for God, for the truth. We will stand against this system. We will not submit to it. And that we are also willing to take whatever comes our way because of it, and that we will trust God above everything else. And that's what it's going to take. I mean, you think about this. Look, this was really a good thing. This coronavirus test for the church world, for the Christian world in America, was really a good thing. Remember, all things work together for good. Not all things are good. But all things work together for good to those who love God and those who are called according to according to his purpose. And one of the things this is doing is making us realize, am I easily swayed? Am I easily pushed into fear and anxiety? Because there's a thing coming. Look, turn to Luke 21. There's far worse things coming. Basically, if you can't run with these the coronavirus footmen, what are you going to do when the horsemen arrive? Luke 21. I need some water. Go to Luke 21. Yes, that's a good one. Luke 21. Let me get there. I keep flipping too far. Luke 21. I want you to go over to, let's go down. Oh, goodness. I mean, this is when he talks about in verse 11, there will be great earthquakes, pestilences, plagues, fearful sights, and great signs from heaven. Go to, just go there. Go to verse 11. This is just good to read right here. We'll read from there. Jesus said, great earthquakes shall be in divers places, and famines and pestilences, plagues, and fearful sights and great signs shall there be from heaven. I believe it's going to be a lot of the alien UFO deception as well. But before all these things, they shall lay hands on you and persecute you, delivering you up to the synagogues and into prisons, being brought before kings and rulers for my name's sake. Listen, they're also using this. I mean, we saw this yesterday. They're trying to blame churches for spreading the coronavirus, right? And if you notice, and because churches want to say, no, we have a First Amendment right in this country to assemble. You can't restrict or prohibit our free exercise of religion. We're selfish and evil because of that. And this is part of the plan. All right? Again, it's all about getting people to think in a certain way. You know, freedom is selfish. You know, but the Bible says where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. Right? But let's skip on over. I want to get to this verse here. The last day, verse 25. He said, and there shall be signs in the sun and in the moon and in the stars and upon the earth, distress of nations with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring, men's hearts failing them for fear and for looking after those things which are coming on the earth, for the powers of heaven shall be shaken. And then, meaning after this, shall they see the Son of Man, the Lord Jesus Christ, coming in a cloud with power and great glory. So he says here, men's hearts failing them for fear. What happens what is he talking about? Their hearts failing. Is it just talking about, he's not talking about heart attacks. I mean, of course that can happen. But what is he talking about? I believe he's talking about your heart being filled with courage. Your heart being filled with boldness and courage in the face of these things because you are trusting Jesus. You are trusting God to be your refuge. You're trusting him to be your healer, your deliverer, your provider. You're truly trusting him in the midst of all of these things going on around you. Otherwise, your heart's going to fail you, meaning you're going to lose. Your heart's going to lose courage. It's going to succumb to fear and distress and anxiety. And let me just tell you, faith and fear do not exist together. You understand? Faith is total trust. Total trust that God is with you. He is in you. He is your refuge, your fortress, your healer, your deliverer, your savior. That even if you die, you are in his hands. There is nothing. There's nothing in the outside world, nothing that can happen that can separate you from him. If you are truly in Jesus and he is in you. See, our problem most of the time, what did Jesus have to say all the time to the disciples while he was training them? Where is your faith? Why are you afraid? Don't be afraid. Believe. Well, Pastor Dean, they might kill us. Well, welcome to New Testament Christianity. Finally. That's the worst thing they can do. If the worst thing they can do is kill us because we're Christians and we won't submit to their whole New World Order, beast world government, well, we're going to be, you know, as Paul said, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord instantaneously. And then we get a whole new body and a whole new wardrobe. And then we return with him shortly. That's right. We come back. And this is what they hate. You will not, let me just inform you, Antichrist, New World Order people. You will not get rid of us. We return to be your rulers. So better treat us nice. How many of you know the Bible says in Psalm 149 that the saints will execute judgment? Oh, that's not taught in church. Certainly not in the local megachurch. Saints will execute judgment. Y'all don't believe me? Turn to Psalm 149. Let's read that. It's fun sometimes to not know where you're going and just go. None of this was planned, I assure you. I was actually thinking about part three. Psalm 149, verse 6, verse 5, verse 4. Let's back up to there. Let's just read the whole thing. It's a short one. Y'all got it? All right, we got it. Praise ye the Lord. Sing unto the Lord a new song. And praise in the congregation of saints. Let Israel rejoice in him that made him. Let the children of Zion be joyful in their king. Let them praise his name in the dance. Let them sing praises unto him with the timbrel and harp. For the Lord taketh pleasure in his people, and he will beautify the meek with salvation. Let the saints be joyful in glory. Let them sing aloud upon their beds. Let the high praises of God be in their mouth and a two-edged sword in their hand to execute vengeance upon the heathen and punishments upon the people, to bind their kings with chains and the nobles with fetters of iron, to execute upon them the judgment written. This honor have all his saints. Praise ye the Lord. Now, wait a minute. This honor has all his saints. Did all his saints get to do this? What about the Chinese Christians that died under the persecution, the Communist Party in the 1940s and 50s and 60s? No. So when is this got to happen? At the end. Better be nice. The world calls it karma. God's always called it, you reap what you sow. So mercy, reap mercy. So wrath and violence and suffering, I reap it. It's coming. People ask, how's there going to be a millennial reign? Oh, there's going to be one. The saints will rule. You know, the Bible even talks about, Paul told us in Corinthians, that we would judge angels. This is the place God's going to put those faithful to him. And this is the important thing. Those faithful to him unto the end, meaning unto the end of your life or until he comes. If you live to the second coming, he just wants you to be faithful. Well, Pastor Dean, does that mean perfect? No. No one of us is going to be perfect, nor are we going to be sinless. But we shouldn't be living in sin, chasing sin, indulging sin, practicing habitually. God knows that we're going to struggle sometimes, but he doesn't ever want us to live in it, dwell in it, indulge it, wickedness or evil. He wants us to repent. That means confess it, turn and walk away from it, and walk with him. And this is something I need to tell you right now, and this is very important. You're not going to be strong enough to endure the demonic attacks of fear and doubt if you don't have a prayer life. You hear me? I believe, if you go to Matthew 26, I believe the disciples fell apart when Jesus was taken to be crucified, even though he had warned them, I'm going to be taken by evil men, I'm going to be crucified, but I'm going to rise the third day. He had explained this to them, but their minds didn't get it. And so Jesus, it says he in Matthew 26, it says he began to be sorrowful and very heavy. because he was feeling the spiritual warfare that was coming against him, and they were about to come get him and take him to the cross. Now, this was all the will of the Father for him and for us. Thank God he did it. But it was still not easy. There was nothing easy about it. It was nothing easy about it for him mentally, spiritually, emotionally. Not just the physical suffering he went through. It was mental anguish and spiritual oppression and heaviness from the enemy. And he said that his soul became sorrowful, exceedingly sorrowful, even unto death. And he asked the three he trusted the most, that he believed were with him the most, come with me and pray. I need you to come and pray. And what did he find them doing? Instead of praying, they're sleeping. And he comes and he looks at them and he goes, could you not tarry with me 1 hour? You couldn't even stay awake for an hour. Jesus was praying all night. They couldn't stay awake for an hour to pray with him. He so needed their prayers and their strength at that time. And he warned them. He said, you need to be praying. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. Pray that you enter not into temptation. Well, they didn't. So what happened? When it all went down, Peter caved like a house of cards in a hurricane. And they all forsook him and fled. They all ran away like scared little boys. But I think that's just because they weren't prepared. First of all, they didn't listen to what he said and begin to prepare their minds and their hearts for that day. Like a lot of Christians right now, they are not prepared. They've been told they're going to be raptured out of here before any of this happens. They're not prepared. These lies and deceptions and doctrines of men have not prepared them to prepare themselves. And let me just go on and tell you, you prepare yourself. You do. In your mind and your heart, when you know what's coming and you know you're going to have to walk through it, you begin to prepare yourself mentally, emotionally, spiritually, even physically. You begin to prepare yourself. Well, they didn't. They didn't even hear it. I don't even know. I don't even understand that. But they didn't even hear it. It's like it went. Whew. How many times he told them, I'm going to be crucified? And they all just fell apart. How many right now, coronavirus, oh, we all going to die. Christians ran and hid in their homes. Pastors ran and hid. You know, our church is so small, they ain't bothered with us. But I assure you this, had I had a mega church, I would have been having services until they drug me out and took me to jail. And like I said, I would have sued the city, the state, the county, the governor. Then I'd finally have a new car, new truck. What's that? Yeah, when I got out, I would get to drive it, right? But what are we going to do when they tell us you got to have the vaccine? Or wait a minute, you got to have this implant or you can't buy or sell. Or you can't work here anymore unless you take this vaccine or this insert. So what are you going to do? Christians, at that moment, you're going to have to decide, do I bow, submit, worship the beast system, and basically betray Jesus Christ and seal my fate in hell? Or do I say no and walk away, or just take, say, yeah, whatever, I'm fired, that's fine, I quit, I resign, I'm out, because I know Jesus will take care of me. If that means packing up the house and the kids and moving somewhere else? Here's the thing, folks. This is the time I talk about having a prayer life, not only so you won't fall apart when these difficult things hit you, but you better have a prayer life so that you can hear his voice when it's time to go, or when it's time to move, or when it's time to change something. That is so important. Oh, Pastor Dean, I don't believe God talks to people anymore. Well, you're an idiot. That's about the stupidest thing I've ever heard. A living God has men and women that are born again by his Spirit, and he somehow is not allowed to talk to them anymore. That's foolish theology. Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice. You know what that word hear? I've told my students many times. Present tense, Greek verb. What does that mean, students? I can't hear you. Continuous, ongoing action taking place in the present. The word hear and follow, those two verbs in that verse, John 10:27, put it up there. John 10:27. My sheep hear my voice, and they follow me. Well, the question is, are you his sheep? See, there's a lot of people. Let me go and tell you. There's a lot of people that say they're a Christian. I was witnessing one time. I'm not joking. I'm not making this up. I was on the street witnessing. I can't remember if it was on the campus or just in downtown Auburn. But I ran into this group of guys, and I said to them, I asked them, I said, are you guys born-again Christians? And they said, well, Americans, aren't we? I'm not joking. I'm like, whoa, time out. Being an American does not make you a Christian, a born-again Christian. Going to church doesn't make you a Christian. Singing in the choir doesn't make you a Christian. Going to Sunday school doesn't make you a Christian. Being baptized, sprinkled, dunked, or the little ashes put on your forehead. Praying to Mary certainly doesn't make you a Christian. What makes you a Christian? Believing the Bible, the Word of God. Believing God inspired this book, and that what he says in it about salvation, the way of salvation, is true, and that is that Jesus is the only way. He's the only sacrifice for your sins. He's the only way your sins can be forgiven, and that you must believe in him, confess your sins, repent of your sins, and ask Jesus to wash you and cleanse you and be your Lord and Savior, and then you take up your cross and you follow him. We got people out there saying you don't even have to repent. And the Bible says it all through here. Repent, repent, repent. It was the favorite word of the true prophets. It was the first message of Jesus. Repent and believe the gospel. Well, that just means change your way of thinking. No, it doesn't, you theological heretic. It means change your actions. Change everything. Wake up. Stop being foolish. You're just the foolish version. We have so many people that think they're Christians and they've never been born again because they've never truly surrendered to the Lordship of Jesus. They've never hated sin enough to repent of it and to walk away from it and to try to walk a new life, a new course, a new road with him. It's only going to matter if you know him, hear his voice, and follow him. Follow Jesus. That is the only salvation. That's the only way to overcome what is coming. And it's the only way that you're going to inherit eternal life. Otherwise, there is the other destination. I have another fool. And listen, people say, oh, Jesus said don't call people fools. You don't even understand what you're talking about. Because Jesus called people fools. Oh, no, he said the blind lead the blind in Matthew 23. No, go read it again. He said, you blind fools. So I don't want to hear it. Don't write me any messages. Don't call people fools. No, there's some fools. There's some straight up fools out there. And it's just mind blowing. The foolish, I mean, we even have a parable. The wise virgins and the foolish virgins. Folks, hear me. You can't be foolish and go, you know what? I can just believe whatever I want. I got these fools sending me emails. I got to find out how to block emails. I'm tired of it. Oh, there is no eternal hell. There is no eternal punishment. There is no eternal damnation. You pastors got it wrong. No, you idiots that don't even go to church have it wrong. You send me stuff like that, and I'm like, I've been doing this for over 32 years now. I have read this book a few times. I have looked up the words in the original Hebrew and Greek a few times. I have consulted multiple Hebrew and Greek scholars who actually speak and read the language. I've studied this book. I love when people send me a little note and say, you need to read the Bible. I'm like, better be glad I'm saved. I've read it, I assure you. I have read this thing. There is an eternal hell. There is eternal damnation. There is eternal suffering and punishment. I'm sorry if that offends you. But God is the one. The same book that tells you how to be saved, how to escape that, how to have your sins forgiven, how to know the love and mercy and forgiveness of your Creator, also tells you the consequences for rejecting that and doing it your own way. Sorry. But there's only, even Led Zeppelin had it right, two paths you can go. You hear me? There's a heaven and hell. And I'm going to go to that. Go to Revelation 21. Probably one of the most important things I read. Thank you for bringing that up, Jordan. Because everybody misses this one little part in here. I guess we'll start reading here from verse 6. Verse 6. And he said unto me, this is the Apostle John speaking, the Lord speaking to him. He said unto me, it is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. He that overcometh, the word overcometh here is a present tense Greek verb as well. So it means ongoing, continuous, taking place in the present. He that overcometh what? Sin. Fear. The devil. The beast system. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. But the fearful... But the fearful, we'll come back to that in a second. But the fearful and unbelieving, the abominable, the murderers, and the whoremongers, and the sorcerers, and the idolaters, and all liars, Fauci, shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. And remember, I've told my students many times, death does not mean annihilation or ceasing to exist. When you die physically, you do not cease to exist. And the second death is not a ceasing to exist. We'll read another verse in a minute, but I want you to go back to this. He that overcometh, overcometh what? He first thing he lists, fearful and unbelieving. Why? Because fear, if you succumb to it, if you give in to it, if you obey it, it will cause you to turn away from, to deny, to walk away from. Your faith, your relationship in Jesus. And I know there's people out there that believe, oh no, once you're saved, you're always saved no matter what. That is a lie from hell. That is a lie from Satan. Nothing can separate you from God outside of you. You choose to be faithful unto the end. You choose to endure to the end. You choose to repent of sin and to walk in holiness and righteousness. You choose to have a prayer life and develop a relationship with the Lord. You choose to do those things or to not do those things. But most of the time, why do people become ashamed of Jesus and his words? Why do they walk away? Why do they put their light under a bushel? Why? Because of fear. Fear of what people are going to say, people, or what they're going to think about them, or fear of losing a job, or fear of losing a relationship, or fear of losing money, or fear of losing fame. Fear, fear, fear. Fear will be your God, or Jesus will be your God. You cannot serve two masters. You hear me? Many Christians will bow their knees to the beast system and take the mark of the beast because they're afraid of not having enough to eat, or they're afraid of going to prison, or they're afraid of death, or they're afraid of something. They're afraid of losing something. And they're going to bow their knee. And there's preachers out there like John MacArthur telling Christians they can take the mark of the beast and still go to heaven. Let me read that one. Let's go back to Revelation 14. Because I was going to read it last week and I didn't. See, I don't want your blood on my hands. One thing that anybody that's watched us over any amount of time will know, I have read this again and again and again and again because I know we're in the last days of the last days, and I know that you Christians out there and us here, we're going to face this. And you better know what the Word of God says, not what your pastor says. Because a lot of pastors are walking in deception and error. A lot of churches are in deception and error. A lot of them are just simply ashamed of Jesus and of what he said and what this book says. Oh, we can't talk about hell. Yet Jesus talked about it. The apostles talked about it. The prophets talked about it. But no, we can't talk about it. Because we don't want to upset anybody. We might lose a tither. Feeling good today. Revelation 14. Hoping to scare the hell out of you. Get all the hell, all the sin, all the demons, scare them right out of you. You say, Pastor Dean, fear is not good. No, there's the fear of the Lord is a good thing. We'll get to that in a second. Hang on. Let's read this. Revelation 14. Let's go down to verse 9. Everybody, you need to hear this. You need to pay attention. One of the most important things for the people of the last days is this warning right here. Verse 9, Revelation 14, verse 9. And the third angel followed them, saying with a loud voice, if any man, let me tell you what if any man means. If you look it up in Greek, it means any man, any person. Saved or unsaved, Christian or non-Christian, doesn't matter. If any man worship the beast and his image and receive his mark in his forehead or in his hand, the same shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out without mixture into the cup of his indignation, and shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb. And the smoke of their torment ascendeth up forever and ever. And people say, oh, that's the smoke of their torment. That just means the smoke. Keep reading. Foolish virgin. Keep reading. So what does it say? It says he will be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels, and the smoke of their torment ascendeth up forever and ever, and they have no rest, day nor night, who worship the beast and his image, and whosoever receiveth the mark of his name. Here is the patience of the saints. Here are they that keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. The commandments of God. I know, here come the Torah heads, right? When this says commandments of God, I'm talking about the new covenant, because we're in a new covenant. But the new covenant is pretty clear. You can't be an adulterer, a habitual adulterer, fornicator, drug user, drunkard, idolater, sorcerer. You can't be any of those things. You can't be a whoremonger or a whore. And look, we all were some of those things at one point. That's the good news, that you don't have to be those things anymore. There's a way to be forgiven, and there's a way to be free. His name is Jesus. But this is clear right here. And this is coming. This mark of the beast, this forced, mandated worship. What is the word? And the word worship simply means what? To honor, to revere, to submit to. You will worship the beast, the Antichrist, and the beast system so that you can get your chip and your guaranteed income. Or you will say, no, Jesus is my Lord. I don't need your chip. He can command the ravens to bring me food. He can keep multiplying my bag of rice till it doesn't run out. But see, think about it. Only the people that really believe in the supernatural are going to be able to, they're going to be able to stand. God doesn't do miracles anymore. You're a fool. I know I might have to explain the difference of those, because I know there's people out there that don't understand. So we'll get to that one day. Sometimes I just like irritating religious folks that think they know something. And look, when I say the people out there are fools, I'm talking about the Christians who are fools. I can call my own fools. I can tell you that right now. There's some Christian fools. All right? Foolish virgins. Blind, deceived, believing the doctrines of men, the traditions of men over what the Word of God plainly says. And they think they're going to wake up when it's all said and done and go to heaven. Mm-mm. Jesus even said to the church of Laodicea, if you're lukewarm, I spit you out. Can you imagine if you take the mark? No, you're not going. Well, that's just too harsh. Too bad. Guess what? The Creator makes the rules. You don't. You don't get to judge what's fair or not fair. He knows everything. He knows every heart. He knows the secrets of every person's heart and mind. He knows the past and the present and the future. Therefore, he can judge who goes to heaven and who goes to hell. In fact, it talks about on that day of judgment when every person will stand to give an account of their lives, that many mouths will be shut. They will be silenced because they will know. They're not going to be arguing, oh God, that wasn't fair. They're going to know exactly why they're about to hear the words, depart from me, you cursed, into everlasting fire. Well, God, I just thought it was you know, my choice. No, it was murder. Oh, but Lord, I thought, well, Jesus turned the water to wine at Galilee, so I thought it was okay to drink. No, can't be a drunkard. No, just because you make up your own standard of righteousness. Oh, well, I know I'm an adulterer, but I didn't molest kids. Oh, so you got your own standard. Adulterers are fine to go to heaven, but child molesters can't. So you just make up your own rules, your own standards. Well, guess what? The only standard that matters and the only one that's going to be done is his. And see, the fear of the Lord, all the fear of the Lord, I don't walk around scared of God. The only thing I think of, I'm more scared of myself because I know he will not change his standard for me. If I choose to live wicked and rebellious and evil, then he's going to stick to what he said. He won't change just because we think he ought to. Human emotions. People think God is like them. That's the problem. People think God judges things and does things by his by the level of our own human emotions. He's not like us. And you know something? I've said this before. Oh, Pastor Dean, oh, hell, that's just terrible. God of love wouldn't do that. Let me just go and tell you something. We know from this book that even after the tribulation, after the beast system, you know, because there's going to be people who resist the mark of the beast but are not Christians and actually live through the tribulation, and they're going to enter into the millennial reign as Jesus returns. They're going to see Jesus return. They're going to be normal human beings that enter the millennial reign. And they're going to see Jesus is going to rule and reign on the earth. Satan is going to be bound for 1,000 years. And these same people, they're going to get married, they're going to have children. The earth is going to have the trees for the healing of the nations. And Jesus is going to rule 1,000 years of peace, no war. And there will still be people, after seeing what happened with Satan and the New World Order people, the Satanists, the Luciferians, and everybody else, after seeing that, after seeing his judgments fall, the vials of wrath, after seeing Jesus stand there in his glorified body with the nail prints in his hands and feet, crowned as King of Kings and Lord of Lords over the world for 1,000 years, people are going to see this and still rebel again. There's going to be another rebellion. What does that prove? There are some people, it doesn't matter what you do, what you say, what they see, what God does for them, what he reveals to them, what he's given to them, they still are going to rebel. And let me just say this. God knows what every person's going to do in the future. Now, let me ask you, if he knows that there's going to be rebels who still have the rebellious seed in their heart, but they said a little sinner's prayer one day, that they get to go to heaven and start another rebellion, that they get to be in his kingdom and start another rebellion. Remember, Hallel, known as Lucifer, the serpent, the devil, the dragon. His original name, Hallel. He rebelled. There was no sin anywhere. He was in heaven, perfect in wisdom, perfect in beauty, in a perfect environment, and decided to rebel. Now, do you think God, knowing the future, now he allowed it this time to bring about his children, the human race, to bring about free choice, but no more after this. No rebels allowed. So, that's why he made a place. He said hell was created for the devil and his angels, not for human beings. But guess what? If you follow the devil and his angels, you act like the devil and his angels, guess who you get to live with for eternity? That's the way it works. You're going to end up on the road you followed. And that's just the way it is. Now, God loves you. Doesn't want that to happen to you, any of you. God said he's not willing that any should perish, but what? All should come to repentance. But that is a choice you have. See, there are people right now. I know there's people right now. There's Christians listening to me. Christians. They believe Jesus died for their sins, rose from the dead. They've prayed the prayer. They've been in church and out of church, in and out for years. Up and down, in and out, up and down, in and out. They're still habitual fornicators. Some of them, they go to church every Sunday with their wife, and they got a honey on the side. Some of them are secret alcoholics. They got the vodka hidden in places, and they chose vodka so it doesn't smell. I know there are tricks. I know one of my best friend's dad was an alcoholic. We used to find his vodka bottles hidden all kind of places, in the basement, different places. Thank God that man got delivered, gave his life to Jesus right before he had a heart attack and died. But see, there's a lot of people that got ideas. Well, I can just keep living like I'm living. A lot of you are living together and you're not married. I just had to tell somebody no. They couldn't come into school because they're living with their girlfriend. Well, I don't think you need a marriage license. Do you have a driver's license? Look, you guys hear me talk. I don't like the government very much. They do bad things. But they also do some good things. And as Christians, we're supposed to submit as much as possible. They want us to get a marriage license? That's not unreasonable. They want you to get a driver's license? That's not unreasonable. There's things that are not unreasonable that we should just submit to. The Christians under the Roman Empire submitted as much as they possibly could until it crossed the line and interfered with their free worship of God, to worship God according to the Bible. And they said no. And they paid with their lives. But see, we got a bunch of rebels out here. I don't think I need to go to church. I see them all the time, just hating on church. I know there's a lot of bad churches. But let's not throw the baby out with the bathwater, right? Find a good one. Even if it's five people meeting in a house somewhere, or meeting in an apartment, go there. Do something. All right, I guess I ought to quit. It's only 20 after. I want us to do that last one we did again before we go. I want to pray with you. And listen, too. I want to let everybody know out there, if you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, it's not complicated. All you have to do is ask him to forgive you. What scripture is that? 1 John chapter 1, verse 9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. A few verses before that in 1 John, he says, if we will walk in the light as he is in the light, we will have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, will cleanse us from all sin. He goes on to say, what? If we say we know him and keep not his commandments, we are a liar and the truth is not in us. 1 John 2:4. So you read 1 John enough, you realize, I have to confess my sins. I have to believe in Jesus. I have to be willing to not live according to my own will, according to the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. I have to repent and obey him and walk with him. And if I walk in that light, the light of God's word, the lamp, if I walk in the light as he is in the light, if I will just walk with Jesus, then his blood will cleanse me. And if I confess my sins, he is faithful and just. But notice he said if. Remember, Jordan? If. So it's conditional. You can't just go, Jesus loves me, therefore I'm going to make it. Like I've said for years, it's not a question of does he love you, do you love him? If you love him, Jesus said, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. You will obey me. And what does Jesus say? What's the commandment? I think you want to talk about, we know, yes, the commandment, love the Lord God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Love your neighbors, yourself. But, you know, you can simplify that, I believe, in this one. If we would do this, Jesus just said, follow me, and I'll make you fishers of men. I mean, if you walk with me, if you have a relationship with me, if you know me, then you will love your neighbor. You'll love your enemy. You'll be a light to the world. The only way you're going to do any of those things anyway is you're going to have him real close helping you, because none of us can do it right. Nobody. If they tell you, there's people out there that tell you they're sinless. Run from those people. Run away. They are lying to you. They somehow got better than the Bible. I don't know how they did it, but run away. Because they're going to loop you into some kind of legalist nonsense. So all you got to do, confess Jesus as Lord. Believe that he died for your sins and rose from the dead. And then understand, look at what his standard is of what is righteousness and what is wickedness. And follow his standard. And the thing about it is, you won't be, if you truly are born again and saved, you won't just be following words in a book. You're going to be following the one who wrote the book. You're going to know him intimately, personally. You're going to hear his voice, and you're going to be able to walk with him. And that's the problem. So many people, they know some of the words in this book, but they don't know him yet. Now, don't get me wrong. You need to know this book. It's God's word. But you can know this book or some of it and not know him. So make sure you're born again. It's not signing a card. It's not shaking the pastor's hand. Even being baptized does not save you. There's some churches teach just get water baptized what saves you. None of that is what saves you. Faith, true faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, who died on the cross and rose from the dead. The Jesus of the Bible, who is God manifested in the flesh, the Creator manifested in the flesh, not just a man. You must believe that to be saved. And if you'll do that, he will come into you, he will cleanse you, he will forgive you, he will fill you, he will himself, he said he will come and make his abode with you, he will live with you. And then he will live through you. Trust me, I would not be here today. If it was dependent on my own will, my own strength, my own abilities, I would not be here today. It has been by the grace and power
and mercy, and I'm talking about supernatural power of the Lord Jesus, is why I'm still preaching and still standing and still fighting to this day. So let's stand. Let's do this song. Father, I thank you for these people here today. I thank you for those watching and listening. I pray, God, if there's anyone that's never truly been born again or saved, that today they will come to you. They will receive the forgiveness of their sins. They will trust you as the atoning Lamb of God that came as the sacrifice for our sins, that rose from the dead. And Lord, that you're the one that's coming back again. You're the God of all gods. You're the Creator. You're the King of kings, the Lord of lords, God Almighty of creation, the one true God. And your name that is above every name is the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. So, Lord, I pray that these people will call upon the name of Jesus, believe, repent, and be born again, be saved, be forgiven, their sins washed away, and that they'll become true disciples of the Jesus of Nazareth, of the Bible, the true God. I pray this in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen.
Are you hurting and broken within? Overwhelmed by the weight of your sin? Jesus is calling. Have you come to the end of yourself? Do you thirst for a drink from the well? Jesus is calling. Oh, come to the altar, the Father's arms are. Oh,
Song just to worship the Lord. Just felt that real strong. This Crowder song, and we'll dismiss on this one, but just worship the Lord right here. There's nothing better than forgiveness through the blood of Jesus. Brings the joy, brings peace, brings healing. What's that? Yeah, if anybody here, if you need prayer, and we're having a baptism after church, so if y'all, I want to get our church folks to stick around if you can. All right. Anybody needs prayer, you can come up during this song.
By the blood. bring him down to his knees. God, I've been broken more than a time or two. Yes, Lord. Then he picked me up and showed me what it means to be a man. Come on, sing.
Lord, we thank you for that. We thank you that our sins can be forgiven by faith in the Lord Jesus, faith in your precious blood that was shed for our sins, Lord. And I thank you for that. And I pray today that some people have made that decision to truly repent, to truly start a new life, a new walk. Lord, just a whole new thing with you. To let you be their Lord, Savior, God, Redeemer, Healer, Deliverer. Lord, I pray that today more than anything. It's in Jesus' name we pray. All right. Well, we're going to go. Y'all hug some necks before you leave. Hope most of you can stay for the baptism downstairs in just a few minutes. All right. God bless.